Let's pray. God, thank you for that song. Thank you for ministering to my heart. There are times, God, when all I'm doing is praying that you would keep my eyes above the water. And this morning, I'm praying that you'd keep my eyes above the water. But there are some who come in this morning, Spirit, and they're hurting. They've been through much. And your word is going to give us hope today. By faith, we believe it. So would you fill us with your spirit to understand your word? God, you know how limited I am and weak, but I know how powerful you are. I know you can say things out of my mouth I didn't think. You can communicate things out of your word that I didn't come up with. And it is in that power that I'm trusting and hoping this morning. We are a people who need hope today. We come to your word because we know there's hope to be found in your son, Jesus. And your son, Jesus, is the word. So we come to the word this morning, desiring hope from you and joy from you and being reminded that we have a savior who's enough and a spirit who's powerful. And I call out on your name this morning for those things. And we as a people look to you this morning. Thank you for this text. Please use this text effectively in our souls this morning. I pray in Christ's name, amen. Go with me, if you would, to Ephesians 5. Peter's been doing a fantastic job of preaching through Ephesians, and he's been doing a great job of preaching through Ephesians 5 as well. We're getting to verse 20, which is where we'll be this morning. And he asked me if I would address this verse, perhaps because of a specific disposition that I would take toward this verse. Read it with me. Actually, let's start in verse 15. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. And we'll read down through verse 20. It says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart." Verse 20, "Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Peter said he wanted me to address this because of a particular life experience that I've had, which necessitates a story, okay, to put it in context. 5 years ago, I had a different name, okay? If you had called me on the phone or if you had seen me in the hallway, all right, 5 years ago, you wouldn't have called me Jonathan. My name was Pastor Stanley 5 years ago. Pastor Stanley, everybody called me Pastor Stanley. Because I'd been through the Bible college and gotten a bachelor's and seminary and gotten a master's and been ordained into the gospel ministry, and I'd been pastoring for some time 5 years ago. And 5 years ago, I only had 2 children as opposed to the 4 that I had now. And 5 years ago, I was employed as a pastor in the Chicagoland area. I was well-liked. I was successful. I was the associate pastor of a large church. It was kind of a flagship church, I guess, for that movement, for that area. My borders were ever expanding. But 5 years ago, I didn't know that God was about to take me into a valley of affliction that, during which he was going to strip me of everything I had. He was going to take away my confidence, and he was going to take away my credentials or my titles or my positions, all those things went away. He was going to go deeper than that. Grace abounds where the water is deepest, as she just sung. He was going to take away my associations, kind of decimate my resume, take away my friends, and take away all my money. And there was even times of physical affliction, surgeries, and just a time of crashing. My self-concept, my identity were all wiped out in many ways. My pride, my God-in-a-box theology didn't really hold during that time. Because 5 years ago, I was a legalist. 5 years ago, I didn't know that the gospel was for every day. I didn't know, I thought at the time that the gospel was something that you embrace one time and then you move past it. I didn't realize it was something I needed every day of my life. I didn't understand the sovereignty of God or the grace of God or the fellowship of his suffering. A phrase like the fellowship of his suffering didn't make any sense to me at the time. I loved God, but I had a lot of identity issues. And so I have a very loving God who in a very gracious way did very terrible surgeries on my soul. And I lost everything. So when I come to Ephesians 5 and verse 20, read the verse with me, if you would, with that background or with that approach. Okay, I come at verse 18. It says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Like, there's nothing wrong with the verse, okay? There's nothing shocking about the verse. There's nothing that rubs us the wrong way if we read it this way, okay? If I can alter it, it works for me. The altering would be like this: giving thanks to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's what the verse said, giving thanks to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I would have no problem with this verse. It wouldn't affect me the way that it did originally when I read it. If I could just leave out some clarifiers, to me the verse would be a little more palatable. But it's the clarifiers that need addressing. The reason why the verse makes sense to us without the clarifiers, giving thanks to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, is because we all know that gratitude is an appropriate response. Everybody knows that. Even our culture knows that we ought to be thankful, that we ought to have gratitude in our heart. Pastor John MacArthur was writing on this topic recently, and I love the way that he articulated this. He said, "Thankfulness is one of the distinguishing traits of the human spirit. We sense the need to say thanks, and we realize we ought to be more grateful than we are. Ingratitude," he goes on to say, "ingratitude is dishonorable in anyone's reckoning." We would agree with that. "The shame of such ingratitude is inscribed on the human conscience. Even the most dogmatic atheists are not immune from the knowledge that they ought to give thanks." And then he gives a quick story. Let me just read it to you. One atheist, who is Richard Dawkins, has practically made a hobby of writing articles to explain why atheists feel the need to be thankful and to answer the question of whom they might thank. And his best answer, he says, atheists can be grateful to farmers for the food we eat, doctors for the health we enjoy, engineers for the advantages of modern technology, the city workers for keeping the environment clean and orderly, and so on. Here's the problem with that. Tipping the waitress or tipping one's hat to a sanitation worker doesn't even come close to resolving the problem of whom Mr. Dawkins should thank when he looks at the stars, or when he stands at the edge of the Grand Canyon, or studies the world of countless wonders his microscope reveals in a single drop of pond water. We all know that we ought to be thankful, and there's nothing shocking about that. We would expect to open our Bibles and for our Bibles to say, "You ought to be thankful people." And we're not even shocked at the end clarifier, which says, "Be thankful to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." We've been reading through the book of Ephesians. We went through chapter 1 where he is just pouring out on us the love of his adoption and his favor on us and reminding us in chapter 2 of where we were. But God came in and it's Jesus, 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 all the way to now. So it totally makes sense to us that he would say, if you're going to have a grateful heart to God and do it through Jesus Christ. And we all say, amen. And I agree with all of that. It's the clarifiers on the sentence that rub. It's the clarifier always and for everything. Now, perhaps you came in this morning and you are naive in general. Or perhaps you came in this morning and you're just a happy-go-lucky person and you don't see how the world goes. Or perhaps you're young or perhaps you're unobservant and you could read this and it means nothing. Okay, yeah, sure, be happy all the time. I can do that. But for someone who's been through suffering, this verse takes on a very different meaning. Let me give you an example. For the widow who is sitting in the congregation this morning, or the widower who is alone, and when they leave the service, they're going to go home, and they're going to be alone. When they read this text, it has a different feel to it. Be thankful always, and for everything. There's likely a woman sitting in the congregation this morning who says, we've been trying to have a baby for 9 years. Be thankful for everything and always. There is possibly a teenage boy or girl who is underdeveloped at this stage and they are embarrassed and they are weak and they are made fun of. And they would answer or ask the same question always for this stage. There are others who it goes deeper than even that. They would say, I've been taken advantage of. You don't understand. I've been abused. How could I ever trust again? Always and for everything? Do you feel the friction in it? The unemployed. Yeah. I'm sure God will provide, but what about this time, always and for everything? What about the unloved spouse? I mean, sure, you can be thankful for your marriage, but you're not married to my husband, and you don't know what it's like to come home and be afraid. Okay? For those who have suffered or are suffering, this text takes on a very different feel to it. It needs clarifying. It needs expounding on. It feels trite. It feels shallow. Like you'd throw it out as some Christian jargon. Hey, be thankful, for everything. It feels trite to those who have been hurt or those who are hurting. Which is why my story kind of ties into this. Your story may be different than mine, but I've been through suffering and loss and some pain. So when I approach this text, I say to God, always and for everything. And God is so kind and he is so good that he doesn't leave us lacking. He doesn't leave the gap there. He opens it up for us and answers the question. And he says, how do I get from suffering and pain to thankfulness and gratitude? How do I make that transition? And I just want to briefly answer that question out of the text and from another, because our church has an opportunity in just a few minutes to give praise and to give thanks to God. And I want to show you from the text that there's a way to do that, even in pain and even in suffering. Would you look back at verse 16 with me? Verse 16 says, I'm sorry, verse 18, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Peter's been telling us that there are four participles that flow out of the Spirit. And he's saying we address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts. That's two. Number three is this week, giving thanks always and for everything. And number four, he'll address submitting to one another. The Word of God is telling us that a Spirit-filled believer, the outpouring of a Spirit-filled believer would be singing praise, admonishing one another, and also being thankful. So the source of our thankfulness doesn't come from the circumstance. We have a tendency to try to connect those in our mind. How could I be thankful when I've gone through this? But the thankfulness doesn't stem out of this. The thankfulness pours out of the Spirit in us. The Spirit of God fills us and makes us thankful. Now, this particular text was not written to address how do we get from Spirit-filled to thankful. Okay, the text was written so as to expound on Ephesians and Ephesians 5 in particular. Ephesians has been walking us through how to walk as children of light. Chapter 4, be careful then how you walk. Later on in 4, don't walk as the Gentiles do. Coming into chapter 5, You are sons of God. Walk as children of light. Here's what a child of light who is walking as a child of light would look like. So the text is only there to explain to us what it looks like to walk as children of light. And part of walking as children of light is having the Spirit fill us. And the Spirit fills us. It gives us four participles that explain to us what a Spirit-filled believer looks like. So the text is not designed to answer the question, how do I get from here to here? It just simply says, children of light are filled with the Spirit, and Spirit-filled people are thankful. So I'm going to run to another text that says the same thing but fills in a gap for us. Would you go to Romans 5 with me for a minute? And briefly, I just want to explain, I want to show you the parallels, and I want to answer a question. And then we're going to have a time of praise. This is deeper than we can cover right now. This is something we're going to have to go home and we're going to have to ask God to do a work in our souls. But look at Romans 5 with me. You're going to see a lot of parallels. He's going to mention the Spirit of God. He's going to mention a lot of things that look just like Ephesians 5. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, and I'm going to read it this way on purpose. Just listen to the way I emphasize. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. Okay, here's our connection, always and for everything. Here's our connection. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Okay, there's benefits to my suffering, okay? And endurance produces character. Okay, he cares about me. And character produces hope again. I thought I had to have hope to get there, but it produces hope in me too. And hope does not put us ashamed, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. We all want to be thankful people, but sometimes it's difficult for us to make the connection between what I've been through and the suffering and the hurt or the pain or the loss, and being thankful. And God releases us from that and says, by faith, you can hope in me. If you're a sufferer this morning and you came, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that God is good? Do you believe that God is good? By faith, through the power of the Holy Spirit, God can produce in us thankfulness. In just a few minutes, our body's going to get up one by one, and they're going to give testimonies to the goodness of God. And yes, there will be some, I would imagine, that will be fake. They're just going to be, everything's happy and everything's wonderful. And I understand that happens. But there are others who are going to come up, and they're going to look like everything's wonderful, but you're going to know they have a depth to what they're saying. And you're going to say, how is it possible that they could be so joyful and so thankful? And the answer is that by faith, they've trusted in the character of God. They are hoping in the character and in the love of God, and the Spirit of God is connecting their faith with His power in their heart. And what pours out of them is thankfulness to God for everything, always. It is a miracle of God for this to happen in us. It cannot be contrived from inside you. There's no power source within you that can just produce thankfulness unless it's some fake rendering. But there is a way for God in His power, in a miraculous way, to take our faith in Him and in His character. Romans 5 calls it our hope. And to connect it with the power of His Holy Spirit inside of us. And what comes out of us is things like singing praise. Peter was saying, there are times when you come in the room and you don't want to sing. What do? We ask the Spirit to fill us to sing. We are filled by the others around us singing. Part of the reason why we have corporate times of praise is so that the Spirit's filling of others to thankfulness and praise fills us to thankfulness and praise. I know we want to be thankful people. This text is not being trite. Give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He understands that by faith we are trusting in His Holy Spirit and in the power of His Spirit to fill us to thankfulness. If this is a struggle for you right now in your life, if this is a difficulty, ask God to fill you with His Spirit. Let's allow the microphone time to be the outpouring of a Spirit that gives us thankfulness from broken people and broken stories where there should be no logical reason why there would be thankfulness right now. But as we see thankfulness coming out of broken people, we know the Spirit's there, which means that faith was there and my faith is strengthened and this, I want the Spirit, and we feed each other and we're encouraged. This is what God wants from us as a body, and this is why the text is there. Be thankful always and for everything, knowing that it is the Spirit who gives us that power. And this morning, the Spirit can fill us through faith and His Spirit to be thankful always and for everything. Let's pray. Father, would You use us even now to minister to us and to minister to others? This is deep. Please do more than the time I had. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.